The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Pennsylvania, front and center, one of my favorite people in our Pennsylvania Senator, Senator Tracy Pinnacook. We really appreciate you serving Montgomery and Berks County as well and serving as a military veteran. Senator Pinnacook, thanks for being here once again. I know that you've been honoring as well as we think about honoring our heroes, especially through tomorrow, National Police Week.
Oh, absolutely. I have to tell you, I could not do what police officers do every day. Every time they pull a car over, you know, you never know what you're going to encounter. And I've done a couple ride-alongs with my local police officers, and I'm just always so impressed that they are willing to serve their communities and do what they do every day. You know, combat's one thing, but you come home from combat and have downtime, and police officers don't. They're you know, always on the job. So I'm always very, very impressed. So, yeah, and we've got great police officers in Pennsylvania, by the way. We have really amazing police officers. So I'm very proud to stand with them shoulder to shoulder every time they meet anything legislatively or budget-wise. I like to support them.
And just going through some of the things I know we've talked about in the past, one in particular, you were leading the way, if you will, here on artificial intelligence, the future of innovation, but making sure that that innovation is not used for evil. Can you update us? As obviously, I'm the Senate Communications and Technology Committee, and this is you chair this committee, obviously. Can you update us as far as the state of AI, the future of innovation, but as well, how you're making sure that, you know, it's being used for good, not evil?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've had some really great AI hearings. We partnered up with agriculture to discuss how AI is really impacting our agricultural industry. We had a future of AI innovation out in Pittsburgh. We recently were just up at Ben Franklin in the Lehigh Valley and looking at how powering AI and its future in our economy and how, you know, people sometimes think, ooh, AI is going to take jobs away. Actually, it's going to create more jobs. And we want Pennsylvania to be an AI hub. We want that innovation and those jobs to come here. So that's really important. We've got a couple bills, as you know. Last session, we had Senate Bill 1213 that the governor signed into law, which criminalizes the creation and distribution of intimate sexual deep fakes of non-consenting adults as well as children. We are on our fourth individual who has been charged under that bill. We're going to go one step further and clarifying that deep fakes are digital forgery. And why is that important? Because these AI-generated content can be weaponized to defraud or injure people. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that we protect consumers. I don't want to regulate AI. I want to just put guardrails so our consumers are protected. The president just did an amazing, actually took one of my bills. He didn't take my bill, but we don't have to put the bill in now. He signed into law that media companies must remove unauthorized or non-consensual images in nudity or undress or engaged in sexual content. That's really important because we don't want those images out there. We want to protect our elections from artificial intelligence interference. And that has not been introduced yet, but it'll be coming out. You can't artificially impersonate, whether it's their images, their audio or text, for something that hadn't actually happened. And it's a civil, we put it on the civil side so you can get immediately into the courts and get damages very, very quickly. And that's really important. We also want to make sure that disclosure. We don't want people to, you know, create an entire piece of artwork or a movie or a book using AI and then take credit for it. So we have an AI disclosure bill, and that would protect consumers from fraud. From, you know, they would know, hey, this was generated using AI. That's really important. And we don't want a watermark. We just want a disclosure that some of this is, in fact, you know, being produced with artificial intelligence. So again, we're just trying really, really hard to put guardrails on. We want innovation in Pennsylvania. We want AI companies to come to Pennsylvania. We want to create an environment where they are welcome here and they're collaborating. And not just, you know, you think AI in business, but AI in healthcare, in manufacturing, in agriculture. I mean, the applications of AI are so broad and can do so many great things across so many different industries that we want to be a leader in that. And there's great people.
Yes.
So many that are already doing great stuff with AI that it blows my mind. You know, we have these conversations and I'm
it's like you're going to go in for surgery and they're going to, it's going to be a robot doing the surgery. It's a little scary. I don't know.
I kind of, you know, feel the same way, but then you watch a video of, you know, the joint replacement, you're like, actually the robot's more precise than the surgeon. So, you know, there's really amazing stuff going on in AI and, it's so broad based across some sectors, as I said, and we've got to teach our children how to use it. And
well,
we've got to, you know,
that's just it. If I can get to the number real quick here, Senator Pennycook, it's that, you know, you've said this and some of your experts testified to this. On one hand, AI sort of disrupts 85 million jobs globally, but then creates 97 million, and those are high-paying jobs. So how does Pennsylvania
–
so take me through that as far as the long-term plan, the short-term plan – to harness a situation with education and making sure that we get some of those high-paying jobs here?
So one of the things that we really have to do is we have to make sure that our children are learning about AI as early as possible. We do not want, you know, you say AI to people and they get scared. We don't want them to be scared. It's a tool. I mean, I don't know if you're as old as I am, but when they said the internet, I was like, what? The World Wide Web, what's that? Now it's just integrated into my life. And that's what we want to see with AI. We want to see AI integrated in people's lives for good. And getting people educated on AI is really important. And we're talking to Ben Franklin and some others about bringing small businesses in for roundtables. Hey, what can AI help you with in your business? What can we do to introduce AI to you and maybe small manageable pieces so that it can enhance your business while you're not putting out a huge investment? You're not, you know, buying the car before you drive it. You're able to see and to talk to the experts. So we're talking about doing some kind of innovative out-of-the-box thinking of just having an offsite, bringing in small businesses. Hey, what are some of your what are your top three problems? And see if AI can help you solve those problems. And, you know, working with our chambers of commerce to get AI out into industries that maybe don't even think there's a need for AI in their industry, and kind of making those introductions between industry and education and the AI, you know, professionals that are working with AI every day.
You know, just as, you know, a bipartisan vote in Pennsylvania's Senate was approved, and this was one of the bills you co-sponsored, Senator Tracy Pennycook, and this was to protect, basically, Save Women's Sports Act, protecting girls in sports. Just as that was going on, we have a situation, and in fact, there's a lawsuit that's brewing, I'm told, and this has to do with, in Montgomery County, the Colonial School District, where a biological 18-year-old, 6'2", 6'+, biological male running against females and beating by just an eighth of a second, parents speaking out about that. And so we're seeing this in real time, where on one hand, you know, schools are grappling with this, there's legislation moving forward. And can you talk about that as far as, because I know that you have been able to garner some bipartisan sports or bipartisan support, I should say, whereby, I mean, this is not about a ban or being mean or anything of that nature, but sort of protecting everybody. How do you see this?
So, you know, this is about opportunity. And I really struggled with someone saying, well, you have opportunity as a man on the man's team, but now you want to identify as a woman, and now you have a second opportunity, whereas women only have one opportunity. And sometimes that opportunity is limited. And I, this is not about disliking anyone or not being transphobic, homophobic, any of that. It is about opportunity. Mm-hmm. And women have traditionally not had the same opportunity as men. We all know that. We have Title IX for women's sports because women didn't have equal opportunity in sports. I was a product of Title IX. Military, same thing. I was an Army helicopter pilot. Well, you know, you can't fly attack missions because you're a woman. That has since changed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you battle against all these things. Hell, we didn't have the right to vote. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like we are having an opportunity removed from us. We don't have an opportunity to go play on the boys' team. We don't have an opportunity to have a second opportunity to go to a boys' team. So now we're giving up opportunity for a male when they very well could play on the man's team. So instead of, you know, playing on the man's team, they're playing on the girls' team. And that, to me, is wrong. It is about opportunity, and I cannot understand how anyone can't see that. I don't understand that. Not to mention hearing from a young lady under the age of 18, mm-hmm. being in a locker room with a fully developed male getting undressed in front of her is wildly inappropriate.
Yeah.
I just, on the basic level, if we're going to do that, then everything should be co-ed. Hell, make them all co-ed. No parent in their right mind is going to say, yeah, I want my 9-year-old daughter in a locker room with all these people,
right.
with all these men. It's not appropriate. And I don't know where common sense is on this issue.
Yeah.
I really do not. There have been women that have been injured. We saw the volleyball player. I don't want to see anyone injured, and I don't want to see anyone lose an opportunity. And that's where I struggle to understand why, you know, it's easy to say I'm transphobic. I'm not transphobic.
Right.
I want to see everyone have an opportunity, and I want to protect children. And those two things are my number one goals. If you're taking an opportunity away from a girl, I'm sorry, that's wrong. That is absolutely wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but they continue to do it. And even to the point where one Pennsylvania girl who's a senior who was beaten by the same 18-year-old male, biological male that I'm speaking of, who's now identifying as trans, that girl made a comment, wait a minute, this isn't fair, that, you know, that's a boy who beat me. And so she came in second and she got in trouble. She got in trouble with the coach. She got in trouble. And she's a senior.
We're hearing that over and over, that the girls that protest, and that happened with the University of Penn swimmers, they didn't want to get undressed in front of a fully intact man. And they were told, well, you need to get over it. No, you don't need to get over it. That's not appropriate. And this whole I identify thing, I'm having a real struggle with that, in that just to say you identify as something doesn't make it true. And I don't know, and time will tell, 10 years down the road, will, you know, Leah Thomas say, well, that was a good social experiment, but now I'm over it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if this is, you know, for likes on Facebook, or if this is to get in the news, to push people into something that's uncomfortable. You know, I kind of liken it back to the social experiment. When I was in high school, there were an inordinate number of girls that were anorexic. And it became a social thing, almost, a social experiment. Everyone wanted to jump on this bandwagon. And what frightens me is the stories of kids that say, I just needed you to be a parent and tell me no. and instead you put me on hormones and caused irrevocable damage. Mm-hmm. That's what concerns me. If you're an adult over the age of 18, I wish you well. Do whatever floats your boat. But I am terrified that we are damaging children. And what does that look like 10 or 20 years from now? I don't know. And I did not know this. There was a co-sponsor memo that came out from Senator Michelle Brooks. We pay to transition children, but we don't pay to detransition children through the Medicaid program. Well, that should tell you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would you put your child on a castration medication or something that could damage their heart or their bones? I personally, that scares me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to hear that you can just get them after a 20-minute conversation, that to me is, that's medical malpractice.
Yeah, and the fact that federal dollars, our tax dollars, are going to it, and I think that's something that I had actually talked to Congressman Ryan McKenzie. I think they're working on all of this to look at this, because then mm-hmm. could the government be sued, you know, 5 or 10 years later? Right? There are so many questions to this. Okay, let's end on a positive note here, and that is the Senate passed that measure to streamline fishing licenses for disabled
yeah.
veterans. This is fantastic.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, you know, people, I was getting beat up on this because you got to drive down to the courthouse, you got to bring all this documentation. They just want to be fishing. I mean, come on.
It's so relaxing.
I love to go fishing. I tell you what, it is a blast. So I'm really glad that, you know, we got bipartisan support on that. And I want to say something quick about bipartisan support. You know, when you take the rhetoric out, there's a lot more stuff that we're together on than we're apart on. Mm-hmm. And I really, really try hard to work with my partners on the other side of the aisle to do the right thing. And we're not always going to agree, and we don't always agree, but there's a lot we can do, and we are really working to get stuff done. So I try to keep that in mind every day, and, you know, I represent everyone in my district. So, yeah, fishing, we're going to get that done this session and, you know, make it easier for everyone to get out there on the water and catch some fish.
On that note, Senator Tracy Penicuik, thank you so much for the update.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You as well.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.